Anyway,
so Zechariah 14, it's an interesting chapter. It says Jerusalem ravished. You see, Zechariah saw Jerusalem in a bad way, bad situation. It's in its final, really, agonies before the coming of Christ puts an end to this siege. I want you to understand where this is. Somebody tell me where this is located in history or in the future. It ain't happened yet. It's right before Jesus comes back and puts his feet on the Mount of Olives. Who's going to be with him?
We are.
We are. The saints will be coming with Jesus when that happens. Now, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Now, this fancy word that you hear a lot in the last few years, anti-Semitism, it's basically, it's a hatred, it's prejudiced against the Jews, but yet they tell us we're all prejudiced. and really, it's a disease in the Gentile world, we'll say, toward them. And over the years, from time to time, the hatred for the Jews and for Israel really has become more like a word. I'll use this word: epidemic for the entire world. They've all went against Israel at some point. Of course, the one we all know of was with the Nazis, with Hitler. And 6 million plus Jews were murdered. And that's what they call the Holocaust. You know, they don't hardly teach that anymore in schools. That's a shame that they really don't. They don't teach that in schools very much. And that shouldn't even be allowed to not be, but they don't. But anti-Semitism, it'll be curbed, really, by the Antichrist. And as long as it's in his interest to court the Jews, to fancy the Jews, to make them happy, he's going to do so. You see, the rapture is going to take place. And this is why I say the war that's in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is after the rapture. I don't, but there's some people and good friends of mine, and rightly so, I get it, but they say that war is going to start at any time, and then somewhere in that war we'll be raptured out. I don't think so. But I believe that the Antichrist is going to court, so to speak, the Jews, as long as it's a good interest to him. And the Russian invasion that's of Israel, Ezekiel 38 and 39, that'll be the first real hint that the Jews are not out of the woods. You see, there's going to be a peace treaty made with the Jews. There's going to be this Antichrist that's coming to power, which he won't be full power yet. But he's going to come and he's going to say, "Hey, I'm going to protect you guys. I love you guys. You guys are great." Now, there's a lot of reasons why it could be. They have one of the biggest oil reserves in the world. And they just found that, what, I don't know, about 10, 15 years ago? Something like that. Plus, the Salt Sea has got all types of minerals. Personally, I believe the oil is going to be what draws. In Ezekiel, he says he's going to put a flesh hook in the mouth of Russia, and he's going to bring them down to attack. And personally, I think that's probably what it's talking about. The oil reserve, they need that oil. You know, the United States has all the oil we need. We're not on a problem there. But Russia, they got problems. And they need that. And they need to stay warm. You know, most of Russia is cold most of the time. You know, that place is miserable. But anyway, so I think that has a lot to do with it. And even though they've signed this peace treaty with the Western powers, really that is the Antichrist and the revived Roman Empire. Because don't think the Roman Empire's dead. It's kind of like a bear. It's went into hibernation. And that thing's going to relive. You can see the thought pattern already. Who is the most important man on the face of this earth other than the President of the United States? Maybe more important than the President. The Pope, the Grand Pope. He is the man. That man... He could show up and people will flock out and kiss this dude's feet. He's an evil individual. He claims to be God on earth. I got news for you. He's wicked. He's got wicked ways and he's got wicked thoughts and he's a messed up individual. And he's going to be part of this. The Antichrist is going to use him. But the Antichrist... he's going to tear off really his benevolent mask, so to speak, and begin the time of Jacob's troubles. That's what's going to take place. He's going to begin the time of Jacob's troubles. That's when? In the tribulation period. 7 years. When is it? Yes, 3.5. That's halftime. But it ain't going to be a halftime of rest. They're going to have some real issues. When that halftime gets here, it's going to be a real problem. That's called the Great Tribulation. Matthew 24, 15 through 22. That's where it really discusses the Great Tribulation. Jacob's troubles, that special time that's going to be, it's going to be rough on them. Now, the Jews, they're going to put up a stubborn resistance. They're going to fight. And as the pot, the boiler, whatever you want to call it, of the end times begins to boil, all nations are going to be drawn by a divine decree. In other words, God's going to draw them. And he's going to pull them toward the Middle East, Israel, and Jerusalem. And it's gonna be pretty wild. Now the sorrows of the city, verse 2, he says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle." Now, we won't be here. I don't know if we'll have front row seats watching. I don't think so, but we won't be here. But can you imagine if tomorrow morning all of Russia and all of China was surrounded on the Atlantic and the Pacific and the Gulf of Mexico? If they were all out there in their battleships, parachutes coming in, and can you imagine the fear that would be in people's hearts and minds? It'd bring a lot of... Listen, these people are going to be like, oh, wow. All of this, because they're all coming to attack Israel, all nations, which includes, what's the name of it, brother? The United States going to be called? The European,
North American Union.
Yeah, the North American Union. If you ever study up on the end times of the ten toes, do you know that America, they actually have a map that the United States, Canada, Mexico, Central America, all of that is called the North American Union. It's part of the bigger picture. They actually have a capital. It's in Denver, Colorado. That is what their map consists of, is the way they want it to work. How many of you knew that? That's an interesting study when you start studying the European Union. They've actually got it mapped out for the end times for the one world government, and their main capital for the North American Union is going to be in Denver. They wouldn't have a hard time putting that up in Denver today. Them people crazy. I mean, think about it. They elected a homosexual for a governor. They got problems over there. They're liberal as all get out. They're as bad as Oregon, brother. They got issues. I'm not sure, it may be beyond repair. But anyway, and the city shall be taken, this is Jerusalem, and the houses rifled, in other words, they're going to be rummaged, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. They're going to be sieged. It's going to be taken over, and that's going to cause great sorrows. Jerusalem, really, it's been sieged many times, by the way. I looked up some history on Jerusalem. Many, many times. The first recorded siege occurred when David took the city from the Jebusites about 700 years before the founding of Rome. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 5. Jerusalem was plundered by the Egyptian Pharaoh Shishak in the days of Rehoboam, 1 Kings chapter 14, and threatened by the Assyrian king Sennacherib, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon burned the temple and reduced Jerusalem to rubble. Antiochus, the great... You ever heard of Antiochus Epiphanes? Do you know he's a picture of the Antichrist? A lot of people say, well, the Jews won't accept anybody unless they're a Jew. But that's not true. They accepted Antiochus Epiphanes, and then he brought a hog in the temple, and you know how well that went over. he wasn't impressed with that at all. Praise the Lord, Peter saw it on a sheet, because I ate some bacon this morning. It was good. Man, it was thick, big old hunks of bacon. I like hog. But anyway, the Jews couldn't do that. That was chasing a squirrel, I know. But all right, where was that? Antiochus the Great took the rebuilt city and suffered it. And it suffered horribly under the persecution of Antiochus Epiphanes. The Roman general Pompey besieged Jerusalem in 63 BC. He attacked on a Sabbath. And since the Jews refused to fight on the Sabbath, he was soon in possession of the city. Well, now he was smart. Yeah, let's do it on the Sabbath. They ain't going to break that law. Some 12,000 people were slain. In 37 BC, Herod, with the support of the Roman army, fought for 5 months to gain control over Jerusalem. The Roman siege in AD 70 was one of the most terrible wars of history. Thousands of Jews were crucified. The temple was burned to the ground, and the city virtually vanished from history for 50 years. In response to the Bar Kokhba rebellion, which is what caused that, the Romans obliterated, I can't even speak, Jerusalem in AD 135, and they changed the name of the city to Aulia Capitolina, built a temple to Jupiter on the temple site, and banned Jews from going anywhere near the place. After four silent centuries, the church began to colonize Jerusalem. About AD 614, Chusros, the Persian, took the city, massacred thousands of Christians, destroyed the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Caliph Omar
entered the city in 637 and Jerusalem passed into the hands of the Turks. In 1908, the Caliph of Egypt sent Afdal, his vizier, to subdue two rival Muslim factions in Jerusalem, and again the city was plundered. In 1099, the soldiers of the First Crusade besieged Jerusalem, and in 1187, Saladin recaptured it for the Muslims. In 1244, the Tartars plundered the tragic city and slaughtered its monks and priests. General Allenby led British forces against the city in 1917 and took it without firing one shot. The Jews and Arabs fought over Jerusalem in 1948 when Israel became a state. In 1967, the Jews captured Jerusalem from the Arabs, united the city, and proclaimed it the capital of the state of Israel. You might understand now why so many people got mad when Trump moved it from Tel Aviv back to Jerusalem. They got bent out of shape over that. good for them. Such has been the troubled history of Jerusalem. But listen, the worst is yet to come. It ain't come yet. That's what we're talking about now. The horrors of the past that were brought into Jerusalem, or brought upon Jerusalem, I'll say, are nothing compared to what's going to happen. By the time 2/3 of the population have perished, the Jews will have lost all hope. They're going to just be like, wow. I guess we're done. All these years of all of these problems, and they've held up and lasted, but they're gonna come to a point that it's their breaking point, I guess. It'll seem as though the Arabs have finally achieved their goal. The seizure of Jerusalem and the extermination of the Jews, the Hebrew people have never been as desperate as they will be when Zechariah 14:2 is fulfilled, what we just read. When it's fulfilled, they're just going to be, wow, what are we going to do? Aren't you glad you ain't going to be here for that? And I wouldn't want to be here. The salvation of the city, verse 3, it says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." When it all seems that it's falling apart, there's going to be a miracle that's going to happen. It says, "Then the Lord shall go forth and fight." The Lord, he's going to return to halt the siege. He's going to show up and it's going to all come to a halt. He's going to thrash these nations. He's going to seize the Antichrist and disarm the devil himself. You see, the Antichrist, to start with, he's probably alive today.
Amen.
More than likely, he's been alive in every generation, because Satan ain't got a clue when it's going to happen. You see, there's got to be a rapture first. Well, Satan don't know when that's going to be. And before the tribulation can happen, and before that Antichrist can take his place, there's got to be a rapture. So Satan has always been prepared. People like Hitler, a lot of people said, "Oh, he's the Antichrist." Well, that didn't happen. Well, there's several in here who remember him. Henry Kissinger. They all figured he'd be the Antichrist. Obama, they even said, "Oh, he'll be the Antichrist." I've even heard people say, "Trump, he's got to be the Antichrist." I'm like, no, people hate that man. I've never seen a man hated so much in my life. I really haven't. He just whore. There are people like Charles Manson more than they did Trump. You know? But listen, the devil doesn't know. He's always had somebody in the waiting. I really believe that. And I believe there's somebody right now that's in the waiting to be the Antichrist. Because what will happen is that person will step up and he'll have all the right answers.
That's right.
Where did all these people go when we're raptured out? I think he's going to give them the right answer. They're going to love it. I'll say it. I got a sister. She became a Mormon. She's not now, praise the Lord. She became a Mormon because they had all the answers to her questions. And the question, well, why would God, a loving God, send people to hell? They had the answer for it. She didn't like the answer the Bible gave, so she wanted it from somebody. People like, they seek those answers because they don't want to believe the word of God. And the Antichrist is going to have all those answers. But when it all falls apart, he's going to do away with the Roman Catholic, because he's going to use the Pope to get to his power. He's going to get there, and then he's going to do away with that because he wants some worship. Big a cult as the Catholic Church is, they still look to God. But he wants them looking to him. That's when Satan will enter that man. How many times has Satan entered a human being?
Once.
Who was that?
Judas.
Judas Iscariot. The next one. Now, there are some people say that they're going to resurrect Judas Iscariot. I've heard that mentioned. I'm not going to go that route. I'm going to say there's going to be somebody that Satan is going to enter that individual. But at the end, when Christ comes back, he's going to shut the battle down. He's going to get a hold of the Antichrist. He's going to put him in hell. He's going to put the devil in hell for 1,000 years. And then we show up. We're going to be living here. So the salvation is when the Lord returns. What a blessing that'll be for them. Jerusalem's rebuilt. Look at verse 4. 4 through 8, it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of the of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." Woo, that's us. All the saints. We're going to be heading back with the Lord. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be." Interesting. By the time Christ returns, the world at large, it's going to be in shambles. Listen, the 7-year tribulation period is going to put this world into unreal chaos. We just think it is now. It's going to be an unreal chaos during this time. Devastating wars, they'll have been fought. Earthquakes, natural disasters will have wreaked havoc. The entire planet's going to be in chaos. But nowhere will the ruin be more evident than Israel and Jerusalem. Because that's what they want to destroy. Listen, they've been trying to destroy it since before it became to be. Therefore, some far-reaching physical changes will take place when the Lord comes.
We were just reading there's going to be a new valley. Zechariah, he saw the Lord's feet standing on the Mount of Olives, the place from which he ascended into heaven after his resurrection. Isn't that neat? He's going to leave the Mount. He left the Mount of Olives, and he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. And he told him, he said, why are you waiting? This same Jesus is going to come right back here. The moment his feet touch the ground, when he returns to earth, the Mount of Olives will be rent asunder and a valley will appear. That'll be unreal. The valley will run east and west. Half of the mountain will be to the north of the valley and half to the south. At the present time, by the way, the Mount of Olives is at the center of a mile-long line of hills that dominate Jerusalem. I had never been there. I'd like to go over there, but I do have a free ticket. I just can't use it yet. Rapture ain't happening. One of these days I'm gonna get to use that. The Mount of Olives, by the way, it stands 187 feet above Mount Zion, 245 feet above Mount Moriah, 443 feet above Gethsemane, located to the east of Jerusalem toward the sunrise. The Mount of Olives is separated from the city by the narrow Kidron Valley. On the other side of the mountain is the wilderness that runs down to the Dead Sea. The road to Bethany and the Jordan River run through the north side of the mountain. The valley created by the coming convulsion will be a miraculous escape route for the desperate Jewish survivors that are in Jerusalem. The reference Azel in Zechariah 14:5 has raised some speculation. But Azel is probably a place near one of the eastern gates. So the writer says where I was reading. Since the valley of the mountains shall reach Azel, the Jews will be able to flee through the gate and down the newly formed valley. In another glimpse of the returning Messiah, Zechariah saw him accompanied by all the saints. These probably include the angelic host and certainly include the glorified saints of the church age, be us, who are now united with Christ in glory. When that rapture happens, we'll be in that situation. Zechariah, of course, had no knowledge of the church age, but the Holy Spirit, who guided his pen, did. That's interesting. So I'm going to stop there because I don't want to get a whole lot deeper into this because we got about 4 minutes. But I find it interesting in Zechariah that it even talks about all of this future stuff. But when we look at what's going to take place, and there's some more I would like to get into, and if the Lord will allow me, we'll do that. But not tonight, but in the near future. But seeing what's going to take place, our heart's desire should be to let people know. A warning. They need a warning. They need to understand that the answers are not in a better government for us. Yes, do I want a better government than what we're about to get if that happens? I do. But that's not the important thing. What the important thing is what are we doing for Christ? We got to ask ourselves that. What are we doing for Christ? Are we serving Him to the best of our capacity? As I mentioned this morning, I think that's an important part of our lives and an important part of what the Lord has called us to do. And that's to love, especially the brethren. You know, Paul says that, John says it, Peter says it. We're to love the brother. I got issues with Freddie. I need to talk to him. I need to explain to him, hey, me and you ain't jiving on something. We don't need strife between us. You got a problem with me, Jose? Good.
I got one with you, but we'll talk about it later. No, we need to have that. We need to have that love for each other, especially the brethren. And not only do the brethren know, really think about what they're going to go through if they don't go up in the rapture, the rest of these people we know. If they don't go up in the rapture, which could happen tonight, might happen 100 years from now. I have no idea. Man, I forget his name now, the old guy that sitting where Brother Dave's sitting tonight. I've known him for several years now, but me and him were talking about that, and I said something about the rapture. He said, "Brother, I've been waiting a long time." And that's true. I've been looking for a rapture for a long time. I didn't always think that we needed to go right away, but I've been looking for it pretty steady here lately. It's like, you know, we need to get out of here. And we'll do that when the Lord says so. Amen. Oh, wait a minute. This is for Sister Sandy. I used that for a while. That was pretty interesting. But, you know, we need to love people and we need to get along. We really do. We need to have more unity with each other. We can never have too much unity.
Amen.
That's really what Christians today, we need unity because the world hasn't got unity. They're a long way from it. Sister Diane, if you'll come up, we'll have an invitation.